I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood.
Hello, my name is Marek Larwood. When I first started doing this podcast, I was a comedian.
Yeah.
But now I am a painter and decorator.
Wow. So I would say that is a promotion.
So you people who are tuning in, thinking, I want to hear some... I'm sick of hearing comedians talk about films and things.
Yeah.
I want to hear what white van men talk about. Well, you'll be very pleased to hear my career. My current... And stay tuned to find out if this is a permanent thing. Will Marek escape from this? Or will...
Are you a good painter and decorator? Are you?
I'm painting my girlfriend's dad's flat.
Yeah.
And they said they pay me sort of minimum wage to do it, which is very kind of them.
Yeah. Living wage.
Terrible. I'm terrible.
Really?
But the flat is.
Do you use masking tape or do you just go for it?
The flat is basically these people that had this flat and this dodgy Turkish barber. It sounds a bit racist to be saying that, but he's a dodgy Turkish barber. Rented it out without had the people in it. He wasn't supposed to rent it out.
Yeah,
they didn't sort of check it properly, and he rented out to these alcoholics,
right?
Who were there for about 15 years, and they totally ruined this flat. Is enough to put you off smoking because the white paint. If you're sitting at home now, why not look at your skirting boards or the wooden? And imagine those brown.
Ugh, with
through 20 years of nicotine. So I had this. I'm turning into a painting decorating podcast now.
So people like painting and decorating.
I had this special concentrate I got to remove, and you're supposed to dilute it.
Right.
So I diluted it by getting, I left it a lot stronger than it was. Very little effect. I had to use this on pure, a bit like, similar to the toxic waste in Robocop that kills that bloke.
The scene they always cut, because it's so horrible.
If
it's,
you haven't seen this, you've seen, falls into a bath of toxic waste, that stuff.
Right.
And then you still have to use that twice to get it.
Oh my God.
To get to the shade of orange. So I have been cleaning alcoholic nicotine off the wooden fittings. I've then given it a one coat of Ronseal stain blocker.
Yeah.
And then I've moved on to the Dulux Once paint.
Okay.
All the while, I have been saved today by listening to podcasts, which I never normally listen to. I've actually listened to our podcast back.
Yeah? What do you reckon?
I need to stop moaning.
Okay.
I need to stop moaning and work out what I'm saying before talking. Because a lot of the time, if you don't listen to it back, I apologise, listeners, that it sounds like a man who... I'm assuming you know what's going on in my head. Whereas when it comes out of my mouth and you're listening to it for the first time, a lot of it's very difficult to follow.
But I see that as part of the appeal of the show, you know. It's like a puzzle.
I wasn't
like
aware
a puzzle book.
I wasn't aware of it.
Oh, right.
But I've been listening to... how this is film-related, sorry to bang on, is that today I've been listening to Hans Zimmer, who's the composer famous for, mainly, he's got famous through Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight Rises.
He does everything, Inception, though, doesn't he? Yeah. I mean, even if we just looked up his CV very
Crimson
briefly.
Tide. Well, I went to see my friend James Branch, who's appeared on the show, had a ticket to see Hans Zimmer in Birmingham because he was away when he was playing in London.
Yeah.
So after I finished painting yesterday, I went all the way to Birmingham and we watched Hans Zimmer and his orchestra.
How big was his orchestra?
Phenomenal. And they feel like there's a Crouch End Choir, so I went all the way from Crouch End to Birmingham to see the Crouch End Choir. He's got three violinists, two cellists, a whole percussion and orchestra there. I'd say about 40, 50 piece orchestra.
Wow.
And it was brilliant, but the similar problem with people not knowing how to behave.
Oh, really?
In terms of phone use and talking and clapping and not having any idea. But what's really interesting is that they say classical music is dying, but that was a 10,000-seater at the ICC.
Oh, yeah, it's not dying
at all.
So
it's just finding a different form.
Yeah, I mean, but I suppose people who've come to it through watching Christopher Nolan films are going to be sort of slightly less used to this style of entertainment.
And don't record it on... Lots of people holding their phones and recording it.
With a crappy phone mic over distance, and it'll be...
Well, you're never going to listen to that. You're going to listen to the... Why not listen
to... Just enjoy it, mate.
Enjoy it. And I felt sorry for some... Luckily, I didn't have someone with a phone in front of me, but there was a bloke just to my left holding his phone up. And it wasn't raked seating on the floor, right. So... You just had someone looking for the phone for most of the concert. There should be separate seating saying, right, this is for prick. If you're going to act like a prick, if you're going to get your phone out at all, you can go in the phone section.
Yeah,
so you can all sit with each other and all get your phones out. Here is the section for if you feel you can't be quiet for more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Here is the talking section. Here is the quiet section where the people who have an out of humanity can sit. Because when you're paying, I didn't realise how expensive it was, but £70 a ticket, so that's basically, you know, over a day's painting and decorating for me.
Sure. And do you think his orchestra get paid, or is it all going to Mr. Zimmer?
I think that it really felt as though you're watching a family. And his body of work's incredible. I particularly thought, I'm a big fan of this time track from Inception. He's done The Lion King.
He's done loads. I'm just looking through his CV now, but he did Rain Man, Days of Thunder.
Yes, he did play the one from Rain Man.
Thelma and Louise. He did, there's the sirens for everybody. He did The Lion King, as you say. Crimson Tide. He did the video game of Muppet Treasure Island.
He was the keyboardist in...
And Muppet Treasure Island.
You know the song Video Kill the Radio Star?
Yeah, the first song ever to be played on MTV.
He was the keyboardist in that, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And also, James Branch pointed out, he composed the music to 80s Euro game show Going for Gold.
Yes. Yes, that's where he started out, isn't it?
And one of his other orchestra were in the... composed music for The Bill.
Okay.
And apparently when he was working in the BBC, he overspent his budget by £25, and I was told he wouldn't work for the BBC again. which is endemic, or it's typical, I said, James, of the BBC absolutely having no idea and squandering talent.
The
institution's ruined.
So now that you're not complaining anymore, what was the highlight of it? What piece of music stood out
to you? The one I listened to whilst painting and decorating today, which, because I haven't seen the film because I've heard terrible reviews of it, and I'm not a superhero fan, as our listeners will know, was Man of Steel.
Okay.
I thought that was spectacular.
Oh, yeah. The music and the cinematography of Man of Steel is excellent. It's the film that's duff.
It was great painting to that. Particularly, listening to that 25 times in a row and taking quite a lot of paint fumes, I genuinely thought I was the DIY version of Superman several times today.
Right. He'd be quite good at painting, wouldn't he, Superman? I imagine.
I don't know if he'd get into the cracks.
What, you think he'd just do it so quickly, he wouldn't be thorough?
It's the cracks that really hold you up.
Yeah.
In general. Yeah. The cracks are the source of all time wasting.
Yeah, yeah. The source of all waste is cracks.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, that's fun. It's weird, isn't it? Seeing live cinema music, some of it is worth hearing in its own right without all of the actors talking over the top of it.
Well, you know? I don't listen to much music with vocals anymore. As I've got older, I've listened to soundtracks when I walk around London. And it's something nice, is not hearing voices all the time.
Mm.
And it lets my imagination works much better when I don't have people, you know, shouting lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a real sucker for strings.
Write with music on.
Not at all.
Maybe orchestral music, instrumental, maybe, but certainly no lyrics, because my brain just plays with them, and therefore that's all I can think about is what they're saying.
You know? I'm very, very sound phobic.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
You'd rather be deaf.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting. Yeah, this whole new people going to see the classical musicians are going through. Well, they always have been, but
I don't think you get much bigger than Hans Zimmer really these days. I mean, he is sort of he's the new John Williams in terms of he's synonymous with music soundtracks, isn't he?
I really love Philip Glass, who's used a lot on. His Pogquazzi album is the album for what's it called? The Jim Carrey one when he's in the reality show.
Oh, the Truman Show.
Truman Show, which is a brilliant album.
Right.
Anthem number 2 is when he discovers something's going on.
Yeah.
And I recommend downloading that. And I bought the Predator soundtrack, which is it David Shire? Well, David Shire's done a few. Brilliant soundtracks that all the President's Men,
yeah,
which is difficult to download. You can't get them on iTunes. Anyways, it's probably boring if you don't like that. But if you are interested in music, there's a podcast called on the BBC do that James Branch told me about called Sounds of the Cinema or something.
Okay,
they do it on Sunday nights on Radio 4. So if you don't want to listen to people talk, we've probably turned off this podcast already. But you listen to that.
Okay. Well, we have seen film this week. We have seen film. We have seen a film this week. And
we have seen film.
We have seen film. And we both seen the same film because we wanted to see it so much, which is, regular listeners will know, is a rare occurrence. We have been to see Victoria. Now, I've wanted to see this for a long time. I keep track of the films I've watched and the ones I want to see with Flixster, which is an app that used to be sort of good and now has annoying adverts in it, but I still use it. And I think this film has been on my one to see list for about a year and a half since it was
I only heard of it from people from the Twitter sphere.
Right, well, it was first doing sort of the award ceremony rounds a while ago, and it was ineligible for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars because it's got too much English in it, but was never going to get nominated for the main category because it's a foreign film.
Yeah.
So it sort of lost out there because everyone was saying it was absolutely amazing. Anyway, for our listeners who don't know what this film is, let me give you a brief synopsis. It's about a girl called Victoria who is Spanish, and she is in Berlin for reasons you find out during the course of the film. And this takes place over one evening and a morning in Berlin as she, late at night, bumps into and makes friends with and flirts with a German boy, a Berlin boy, and his mates, basically. And it's what happens from there. But the incredible thing about this film is, I believe it's over 2 hours long, mm-hmm. and it's one continuous shot, and they didn't cheat. It is genuinely one shot. And that's not just showing off. It has a very, very palpable effect, that I thought. I mean, we'll get into it. But basically, they got it in the third take.
They actually used the second one, I heard.
Oh, really? No, I heard the third.
They did three takes.
Oh, but ended up using the second one.
The second one, yeah.
Okay. Because there is a mistake in the film I was reading about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where she takes the wrong turning in the car at one point, and their panic telling her she's going the wrong way is genuine. And the director, who was in the boot with a monitor at the time, is ended up shouting and screaming, and they ended up foleying that out. And they got there, and luckily the cameraman was quick enough that he managed to frame out the other crew who were on the street, and they would have seen in the camera.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they got away with it, and that's probably why they went for a third take. But anyway, what did you make of it?
Well, there's an odd personal thing about this fit. I think obviously it really gets going in the second half.
Yes.
And is slightly hamstrung by its format, which is its successes, and it means it's quite a slow start. But my weird problem with it, not problem, my weird how affected my viewing, which may have affected other people, is the lead girl in it looks startlingly like
Lou Sanders.
Yeah. And one of my close friends is a comedian called Lou Sanders. She's brilliant. She's really, really funny. And a volleyball player as well.
That's right.
She even acts similar.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
So, such a similar, startlingly similar to the lead.
Did that take you out of the reality of it?
It just changed my viewing. It really changed my viewing of it, because I thought, she's just so much like Lou.
Yeah, yeah.
So our viewers probably had that, where you see someone in the film, where you, even when you, occasionally you recognise someone on the tube, you think, I know you, because I know your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was very odd.
The lead in the film Sky High, which is about a boy going to superhero school,
yeah,
which is actually a very, very good kids' film,
yeah,
looks identical to Tom Tuck's little brother. which was always weird watching. Mm. You just go, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily take you out of it, but you feel like you know the actor. So you're sort of watching them perform rather than...
It was a weird thing.
Yeah.
And my second problem with it, when I went travelling, when I was 18, 19, and I went to sort of around Israel, only because I'm not Jewish, it's just that they've gone to kibbutzes for really, really cheaply, I didn't have any money, as usual. And then I went around Egypt. The problem I found was when you meet a lot of travellers, everyone has to communicate in one language. And invariably, that's English. English is the most widely spoken.
Yes.
And English people don't tend to speak,
yes,
another language fluently. So you think you're going to have all these inspirational conversations. And what ends up happening is you just have these slightly shit conversations you can only have.
Yeah, you can only...
people's second language.
You can only express yourself as intelligent as the vocabulary you have.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter about the sophistication of your thoughts, you end up having to be a bit of a sort of simpleton when you're speaking in a second language, unless you're really good at it.
Yeah. And because in this, the lead, she's Spanish, and the German boys are German. And
so they speak in English, yeah, together, but then the Germans speak in German together sometimes, and she, in those times, doesn't understand what they're saying. Now, that I actually loved, because I've never seen that done before. And it is such a common, as you've said, you've experienced it, I've experienced it. It's such a common occurrence in a multilingual world. Like, the idea of having multiple languages, just whichever one is the correct one at any particular moment. Yeah. And, you know, it's all subtitled when they're not speaking in English. So it works perfectly well. But I couldn't,
yeah,
believe I've not seen a film do that,
yeah,
before.
But I think that, I thought the idea, you've got this multicultural thing, different languages, was really, really great.
Yeah.
But I just found some of their conversations very inane. And I thought, a few people said this, the German blokes, they're sort of a bit I mean, I couldn't believe anyone would go with them, because they're quite thuggy, and
yeah.
I think I didn't like...
I know I believed it, because once we heard her backstory...
I think you did then, once you did then, yeah.
I went, no, this does make perfect sense now. Because before that, she seems too sort of switched on and self-confident, and as you say,
yes,
you're right, she wouldn't touch them with a barge pole, but once you've heard her backstory, no, absolutely, I go with it.
But I found it quite uncomfortable viewing, because I thought they were going to... I didn't know any of the plot beforehand. This isn't really a spoiler. I think it might actually help people who are going to view it. I thought for the first half an hour or so, they were going to, you know, sexually assault her.
Yeah.
That's
it. You don't know what genre it is.
Yeah.
And that tension is very palpable. And I think intentional as well.
Yes, definitely.
It's definitely there. And you feel for her vulnerability in this situation. 100%, but you also believe that she would do this because she just wants to sort of let her hair down and live a little, you know. I thought it was absolutely brilliant, and I think it's a stunning piece of work. And the unorthodox structure of it, which it is a little unorthodox, it's not crazy, but it's, you know, it's slightly different, actually just helped me along with not knowing where it was going next. I found it so claustrophobic and tense because of the way the camera was just another eye on this scene that was constantly moving, so you never got to escape. You know, you just had to sit in with them until the end.
Yeah.
You know? I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. It's like, it's a mental night out when you, and occasionally, and maybe increasingly less, but once in every year or so, I like to have you properly go for it. And sometimes it just ends rubbishly, but
yeah.
Occasionally you have these series of events happen and you end up some really mental place, really pitching, you know, where you are, whatever. This is, it really has that feel to it.
It gets out of hand, doesn't it? And that's the...
Yeah. Did you enjoy it, though?
I did, very much so. Very much so. No, I think it's a hell of an achievement, and I thought the actors in particular were absolutely brilliant. I can't really talk about the moments I thought were spectacular in terms of the performance without spoiling the story.
It's quite slow. It's quite a slow start, then it really picks up a pace.
But I think, it does. It does. But it's all the better for it because you know them as real people before anything extraordinary starts happening to them, you know. And I thought they were all so believable and... European, you know, they were accurately European, which you don't see often in films because they've all got an eye on the American market, so they Americanize themselves, and you know, we do the exact same thing. You know, we just try and fulfill archetypes from American films, and this felt properly itself.
Yeah, I didn't especially warn 20 of the characters.
Right, I liked her a lot.
Yeah,
I thought she was excellent. But, yes, Victoria, I mean...
How many Davies did you give it?
9?
I'd give it 8 Marics.
There you go, sir.
It's quite... So it could have been shorter, but then again, it sort of needs to be that length of time because it's actual one take,
yes.
So it needs to have time to breathe, to be very, very normal and mundane,
yes.
to accelerate later on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the pace of the later bits are all the... Like, there's what the when it sort of turns a corner, as it were. We're talking in code, and I apologise if you've seen it, you'll know what we're talking about. And they suddenly feel like they're in danger.
Yeah,
that was so palpable because they were just sort of idiots having fun before that moment.
I needed to have a wee at that point.
Oh, really?
Really annoying trying to work out which bit I need to have a wee.
Yeah. Well, you needed that app.
Yeah, the bit app.
Yeah. Well, that's Victoria. Let us know what you thought of it. We'd be very interested on any films you've seen, anything that you've seen and we haven't talked about yet. You can let us know. Email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can post anything you find to one another on our Facebook page, /filmfandango. Or you can tweet us, @filmfandango, @MrDavidReed and @MeritLarwood.
So many different forums.
So many. Too many, really. I mean, we're not all across it, if I'm perfectly honest.
I was speaking to some young people.
Yeah.
Not young people, but 20-somethings.
20-something, okay.
Yeah, last week.
Millennials.
Yeah. I must have been born in the 90s, I think, yeah. And they were talking about Snapchat. I didn't even know about Snapchat.
Right. I've never used it.
What's scary is what was this new sort of behaviour I thought was a teenager behaviour.
Yeah. It's now adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens though, isn't it? I mean, we must have scared the shit out of our parents when we, you know. The internet and mobile phones and video games is all our generation.
But there's a whole sense of taking... I tried to do some vlogs to try and resurrect my career. Next week I'm going to try and do one a day from Monday. So 2 days, 3 days after it comes out. So things to do around London. So please follow my YouTube channel and give me some ideas. But I found it so difficult to talk into a camera and take interact with his camera in public.
Yes.
And very made me feel on edge and not able to relax. I did one when I walked around London, and I found it really hard to talk normally and not feel...
You don't have that culturally ingrained narcissism that says, well, of course I can talk to the internet when I'm out and about in public.
Whereas I really noticed the kids were taking photos of themselves doing things, these 20-some things, and there was nothing...
Because you were born in the 70s, right?
76, yeah.
So you are technically a Generation Xer.
Yeah.
I am technically a millennial, although I don't do all that shit.
What is it's, I thought it was Generation Z. X is to the eight is late 60s to 80, isn't it?
Yeah, and then after 1980 is millennial, I think. Unless
there's a new generation. There's, I don't know what they're called now. I can't remember
babies.
What they're called.
They're called babies. The new generation.
They're called navel gazing twats.
That's the
but
one.
But it's phenomenal. I just don't. There's no sense of it being.
In any way shameful.
Yeah.
No, it is weird. It is weird. But they'll make better filmmakers as a result, won't they?
I think it's incredible what they're doing. I think the whole YouTube is incredible. I'm following a bloke called, I think I talked about him last week, and Simon Fielder, I guess, put me on to him, called Casey Neistat. He makes a video a day. He's 35, so he's got kids, so it's nice.
Not, yeah.
It feels like it's an adult. But the stuff he's making with drone footage... This thing called Phantom 4, and I think I talked about drones before. He's on a boosted board, a skateboard, it's remote controlled, and with his iPad, he's got a drone where you point to on your iPad where you want this helicopter with a 4K, which is four times the size of HD. You point on your iPad where you want it to go, and it moves on your iPad.
Wow!
And the footage you get, if you look up Casey Neistat, there's always some drone footage there. He does time lapses as well. The footage is incredibly cinematic.
Wow.
And this thing's £1,000, £1,200, which would have been a whole day's budget on a film shoot. And now you're getting this footage of things that people haven't thrown helicopters around.
Footage of technology people have developed where, again, with drones, and they've really opened it up. How small and light you can now make HD cameras has opened it up, really. And then the drone technology becoming cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah.
But where a drone where someone's made software with an app so that the drone will follow you at a distance over a shoulder or directly above or over a shoulder, depending on what you press on your phone, but it will follow your phone. So for people snowboarding or whatever, you get perfectly cinematic snowboarding footage of yourself because this drone has just tracked you the entire way.
You do time lapses on your iPhone. Your iPhone can shoot 4K. I did a video on the tube, and in this London video, I'm not trying to get people to subscribe to my YouTube channel, but what's really, I bought this camera that vloggers recommend. It's this tiny, small point and shoot handheld camera.
Yeah.
And you can film on the underground, and you can film in museums, which I did, which you never would have been done before.
Yeah.
We can do it, you know, surreptitiously.
Because it looks like you've just got a little sort
they can't
of
stop you.
Clicky camera,
Just literally 2 or 3 years ago, I did a film called Boris in London where I had my other camera. And every time my friend filmed me, every time we got the camera up, we'd get hassled by people saying, you need to get a permit, you need to do this here. And now you can just do guerrilla shooting anywhere with HD stuff on handheld tiny cameras. It's phenomenal. There's a film completely shot on an iPhone called, I can't remember what it's called, Tangerine, I think it's called.
Oh, is that shot on iPhones?
Yes, I think that's the one. All shot on an iPhone. They had different lenses on it. You can get lenses for your iPhone. But the whole thing's on the iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I don't know what point I'm trying to make, but I know it's a good one.
That's exciting. It is an exciting time, really, for it. We should probably make things, then.
No excuses not to make things.
No, exactly. Now. Exactly. That's it. Well, I think now it's time for this. So we've got a letter here. This is from Fran Jolly.
Regular writer-inner.
Regular writer-inner, Fran Jolly. And Fran says, "Dear Film Fandangoers, I have not corresponded with you for some time and have decided to. I must get back in touch. I must. I thought High Rise was pretty awful. I fell asleep after an hour and sadly awoke only a few minutes later to then have to go through another 30 minutes of hijinks. Zootopia is marvellous. 10 Cloverfield Lane is thrilling and John Goodman has become such a fantastic, versatile actor. Give him an award, someone. Batman v Superman is not terrible. I think it has suffered as being the first superhero film to follow Deadpool, but it isn't any worse than Iron Man 2 or X-Men 3, etc." I'd agree with that. "Whilst I have your attention, I have always found it frustrating when people dismiss a complete genre. So many people will say, 'Oh, I can't watch horror films,' or 'Sci-fi films are all boring.' Why do they allow themselves these set rules and miss out on some true masterpieces? What are your fave movies that could persuade haters to give the genre another chance? These are the ones that seem to cause the most upset. Horror, sci-fi, rom-com, western and musical. Thank you, film lovers and listeners. Francis." Read out in the voice of Ronnie Corbett, please. Well, you put it at the end. Too late now. That would have been intolerable as well. What's your most respectful Ronnie Corbett impersonation?
I can't do impersonations.
It's really hard. I've never tried Ronnie Corbett. So that's an interesting
one. Question, yeah.
So it's true. I've met people who will not watch science fiction because they just dismiss it out of hand. In fact, interestingly, it's about a TV show, but I think it still applies. There was a show, Battlestar Galactica, that was a massive show a while back now. But the star of that, Edward James Olmos, who was in Blade Runner, he's the guy who leaves the, origami things around the place. He plays the Admiral in it. And he quite astutely, I think, said it could have been an even bigger show if it wasn't for the title. Because actually, the show is about human beings surviving.
It put me off because I thought of the original Battlestar Galactica, which I didn't really like.
Which is a sort of camp, Buck Rogers-esque kind of thing. No, and it's not. It's basically humanity trying to survive after they've lost Earth.
I started watching it. It was very good.
It's a phenomenal piece of work.
Yeah.
And I think that's right. I think sometimes these genres turn people off. Certainly horror turns people off, but I'd say almost fairly. As in, that if people don't like being scared, then there's nothing in the horror genre for them, really.
I don't like the sort of gratuitous the Eli Roth strand of horror, which I find almost disgusting.
Well, his films, the ones I've seen, are just poorly made. I mean, that's the biggest crime. They're not interesting. They're just sort of pathetic, I think.
My biggest put-off genres are, and my mum won't watch sci-fi stuff, but I think sci-fi has some of the most amazing.
Yeah.
You're an idiot if you don't watch.
And it's such a broad genre as well. I mean, to say that 2001 and Return of the Jedi are in the same genre is sort of mental, really.
I mean, the two genres I have problems are were Western and musicals, because Western, for some reason, all the John Wayne films were on when I was a kid.
Boring.
On TV. Awful.
Yeah.
And so I instantly think they're awful.
Yeah, and whenever they came on, there was just something about just the pace of them and the smugness of them on TV on a Sunday afternoon.
And it was always the similar feeling why I've only just started enjoying Antiques Roadshow now, because it was associated in my head with homework and going back to school.
So I'm totally with you on westerns. I hated it hate them growing up. But then some of the spaghetti westerns are phenomenal pieces of work in their own right. You know, the Sergio Leone stuff. So the Bad and the Ugly, which I think is phenomenal. And then Unforgiven. Unforgiven for me is probably the one to bring you round to the genre, because it's more like things you're used to as well.
Young Guns.
Young Guns is great.
I really enjoyed Young Guns.
I like westerns these days, you know, and most films have sort of, they are westerns in a way. Like, American films are slightly western. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all about outlaws and guns, basically.
There's a brilliant book, I hope it gets made into a film, by I think the best writer around the moment, called Patrick DeWitt. It's called The Sisters Brothers, and a beautiful bit of writing. And he's done another, all his books are completely different genres and amazing. But that's a great Western book. And musicals, I've got a real problem with musicals. But
Your problem with them? You just don't like that sort of...
I was in a musical, this kids thing.
Yeah.
And then someone dropped out, so I ended up going to the Olivier Awards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was just lots of musicals on stage. And I did not enjoy the experience at all.
Well, the show I used to be in beat the show you were in, didn't it? To the Olivier.
Showstoppers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. You were robbed, mate.
Well, I don't really care. but the... I don't enjoy watching people singing. I think any musicals... Was The Wizard Oz that was a musical?
Yes, for the first half, and then there's no songs in the second half.
That one I enjoyed. I enjoyed Hedwig and the Angry Inch, was one of the few ones we...
I think that's one of the best. I love Hedwig. I think it's excellent.
Do you enjoy musicals?
I do.
What would you say you like?
I like a lot of them. I like a lot of them. I quite enjoy, you know, a good song. If the music's crap, I can't, you know. I've still not seen it, you know. I've still, it's a stumbling block on my IMDb top 250. Yeah. Wicked, I can't understand why anyone likes it. The story's crap and the music's crap, from my personal perspective. I like Trey Parker's ones, so I like Book of Mormon and I like South Park the movie.
South Park the movie's brilliant.
It's a fantastic musical as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's pastiche, but it's great. I like a good musical. I do Little Shop, Rocky Horror.
Little Shop of Horrors is really good. Steve Martin doing a great turn as the
He's
dentist.
Excellent, isn't he?
Yeah.
Have you seen the original with Jack Nicholson? The black and white non-musical original of Little Shop? No, I've not either, but that would be one for us to track down. Yeah, because the original story is just sort of a B-movie. It's not a musical.
The music for that's really good.
Yeah, it is excellent.
And Grease. I think the music for that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's about it, isn't it?
Well, we've only got one letter this week, so yes, that'll do for the letters.
Not many people like writing letters to change the song.
Turns out, one person likes writing letters.
And even that was, you know...
It's been a while.
Yeah, didn't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you'd like to end this letter drought we're having, then please email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. We usually talk about two films, and today it's no exception. I've had a film in my back pocket for a while because we've been watching so many films, we haven't managed to talk about everything we've seen. And it's one that I wanted to see for a while, and it's called The Lobster. Now, do you know about this?
Yeah, it's some...
It came out a while ago, isn't it? As I say, it was a while ago I saw it. It's a weirdy one. Yeah, it's a weirdy one. It's basically Colin Farrell, who... He waxes hot and cold in terms of the things he's in, doesn't he? Because he's phenomenal in Bruges.
Mm.
And I really like him in Seven Psychopaths, even though the film's a bit wayward. But then he does things like Daredevil and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I can't get past the thickness of his eyebrows.
Well, that's between you and him, I think. But The Lobster is a sort of dystopian Britain where people... It's really weird, but people who haven't paired for life by a certain age, and I think it's like 30 or something, you know, it's not old, go to this sort of care home where it's basically the last chance saloon, where if they don't hook up with someone there and then for life, and it has to be genuine, they have to fall in love, they can't just fake it, then they get turned into an animal so that they're no longer, you know, a drain on humanity.
Is it good?
Just jumping straight to the chase. It is good. Yeah, it is good. It's super weird, but the reality they create is so compelling. Like, it's excellent. Olivia Colman's in it and Ben Whishaw, and it's got the cast is absolutely superb. And this just grinding up of the superficiality of people's relationships in this future dystopia is spot on for, you know, you feel guilty for your own interactions with people.
Is it a comedy or a...
It's a dark comedy, I suppose you'd suggest, but it doesn't have gags in it. You know, it's just deeply strange and satirical, really. And he's very good in it. He wants to be, and he decides he wants to be a lobster, and that's his thing. Now, it's almost two films, though, and this is my problem with it. Oh, it's Rachel Weisz is in it as well. She's the girl that he ends up actually falling for. But they end up deciding to escape together rather than, you know, have a commitment ceremony or whatever. Okay. And they escape the asylum, basically. And it's got this film with this wonderful idea of people getting turned into animals, or is that just the state's lie and actually people are just killed? We don't know. And it's sort of ambiguous and strange, and it properly, you just buy into it, and then you're into this strange world and you can imagine humanity getting here, apart from that little sci-fi leap. But and then...
Is the dialogue strange? Or is the behaviour strange?
Everyone's strange. It's sort of stilted. And no one has a sense of humour or any real insight. It's all very just surfaces. And
sounds like accountancy.
It's a bit... But it, as I say, it's a satire. It's comment upon modern society. For me, it lost its way in the second half, where it abandoned, really, in terms of story, some quite interesting ideas and started some new ones in the second half. And for me, that ended up being a bit dissatisfying. It's still, you know, an enjoyable piece and it is good, but I just felt it could have reached some sort of some higher place by the end than it did, because it wasn't building from scratch, you know, not really.
You're saying they're arseholes?
Who? The makers of this film? No, I'm not saying that.
You're insinuating it.
That they're all arseholes.
The makers of the film were arseholes.
No. I think even good people make a terrible mistake every now and again.
And they should be punished.
Absolutely. They should be turned into animals.
Yeah.
What animal would you turn into if you were single by the time you were... if you were left on the shelf?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask this one.
Well, why didn't you just think about it ahead of time?
You'd have to do something... At least you'd do something different, wouldn't you? Having watched all this drone footage recently, I would like to fly, so I'd probably be... a sort of bird.
A kind of bird?
Yeah.
What kind of bird do you think you'd be? Maybe an owl or an eagle?
A dolphin.
A dolphin. That's a beautiful kind of bird. They fly for very short periods of time, dolphins.
I would like to see the deep, dark ocean.
I don't think dolphins swim very deep.
I want one penguin.
A penguin would be quite fun. They can't fly. You do know they can't fly. No, they're really good swimmers, though.
What flies and goes in the ocean?
A seagull?
They're pricks. Imagine that. Having to listen to other seagulls squawking all the time.
What flies and goes in the ocean?
A flying fish.
You want it all, Marit, don't you? You want absolutely everything.
What would you be then?
I'd be... If I was being turned into an animal amongst humans, I think probably a dog would have the best life. At least you'd have companionship and they'd feed you, rather than, you know, being like a sheep or something.
Yeah.
It'd be a bit crap. I once swam in the Pacific whilst pelicans dive bombed for fish all around me. They're quite cool.
But everyone would pick the good animals. No one would say, I want to be, you know,
a gnat.
Yeah. Or one of those flies, a shit fly.
A shit fly, is that a thing? A shit fly? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, this film is worth a watch. It makes a very bold decision to go somewhere weird, and it does something interesting with it.
Great. Well watched. How many Davies do you give it?
I think I'd give it 7.
Alright.
Well, that's some high scoring films this week. But I think that's it for this week. Check out Victoria or The Lobster. They are both, actually. Victoria was available on live streaming as soon as it was in the cinemas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was simultaneous release. So you can watch Victoria on your many digital distribution methods. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.